How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Got a lot of stuff going on today. It's a very busy day. I am back here live on the air with a lot to talk about. The Raw show from last night, which is the final show before the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view with, as noted on the show, three main events. How do you have three main events? Well, you have three cell matches, and you say they're all main events, but only one of them is going on last. Which one will it be? It is not decided as of this point, but there's a lot of discussion about the women, about the Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match. I would be very surprised if Roman Reigns and Rusev went on last. It's not impossible. We did just see a SmackDown pay-per-view with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt going on last. Anything can happen in WWE, as they say, but it's either going to be the women, or it's going to be the World Heavyweight title match, the Universal title match. So we can talk about that, as well as all of Raw. If you have thoughts on Raw, you're welcome to contact us here today. Text message line 425-780-7566. And you can call us toll free at 844-411-5411. Also, the whole story with Flow Sports. Flow Sports is getting into the independent wrestling streaming business. We're going to talk about that later on in the program with Jeremy Botter. This was his brainchild in a lot of ways. Jeremy's going to be on the show in the final segment to talk about everything he wanted to know about Flow Sports. He'll be on to talk the story with Dave Meltzer as well in the next day or so. Best wishes to Dave, whose mother suffered a stroke. There is information on that on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And we shall be back in just a moment with Mike Sempervive to talk all of the news, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervive, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news today, including last night's Raw. And this, on Monday, Flow Sports and WWN Live announced a deal that will make Flow Sports the exclusive source for streaming Evolve Wrestling. And this is the key here, for those of you that are complaining that we've been talking about Flow Sports, a myriad of other independent wrestling promotions, many of which have not been announced yet. Deal calls for Flow Sports to take over worldwide exclusive live streaming rights for WWN Live, in addition to hosting their on-demand event library dating back to 2003. The events will be available. $20 a month subscription with a deeper discount for a one-year commitment. It's available on both Apple TV and Roku. They're going to be streaming groups 60 shows annually. FIP, Shine, WWN Super Show, Dragon Gate, and more to be announced. And for the $20 per month, or I believe if you sign up for a year, it's $12.95, but you will be getting 60 independent events every single year. So if you're a fan of independent wrestling, this is great news for you, and there's more to come. Mike, what do you make of this story?
It could end up being a big deal now, couldn't it? They already have all of the WWN Live stuff all now in one spot and running live. And I know people have had problems in the past. I've certainly had problems with some of the WWN shows, especially the bigger Evolve shows and Super shows and things like that. You know, their problems have been well noted. When it comes to the Flow side of things, I have only seen amateur wrestling events on Flow and never had a problem at all. So if somebody's looking for a positive there when it comes to the WWN stuff, I can say for certain, at least in my experiences, never had a problem at all when it comes to Flow Sports. So hopefully that still is going to be the same. And we'll just have to play it by ear. You know, the biggest one everybody wants on there is PWG because of their events four times a year, whatever it is. Most certainly the Battle of Los Angeles weekend. That's not going to be on there. We have New Japan World, which has been all in on their own service. Now, I know they're not exactly happy with it, but I would assume that they're going to stick with their thing for a while, so they probably wouldn't be a part of it. So That leaves a lot of other groups, though, and leaves a lot of other possibilities. And they're going to need to make it as shiny as possible, because you are asking people to now spend another $12.99 to $20 a month for more wrestling, when there's so many other individual streams out there that fit individual niches. They're asking you to purchase a bunch of niches, spend a little bit more, support this, and get a lot more and a lot more live programming for a lot less money. So the business plan seems to be good for now. We'll just have to see who they add, because that's really going to be the thing that drives the interest.
We'll talk about this more in the final segment with Jeremy Botter. If you have questions about Flow Sports, you can text those to me, 425-780-7566. Raw was last night. It was the go-home show for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, and a lot of people didn't like the show. There was some stuff on the show that was so hilariously bad that I, as Brian Alvarez, considered it a positive. It was a negative, but I laughed uproariously. This Brock Lesnar segment with Paul Heyman. Now, if you have not watched Raw yet, and you normally watch it on Hulu, I have a task for you. I want you to watch it for me, and I want you to report back. Because the impression that I have been given is that it is very likely that you are magically going to hear Goldberg chants on the Hulu version of this show. Now, somebody that watched it live, and I still have it on my DVR, I could tell you that there were no Goldberg chants during that segment. There was a very light chant at the very, very end. Maybe 5% of the crowd chanted for Goldberg. And as soon as Paul Heyman tried to claim that that 5% was actually 50%, the fans then hijacked the segment with chants of Goldberg sucks. And as I talked about last night on Observer Radio, Vince McMahon flipped out. Could not believe these fans. How dare they chant for Goldberg in Brock Lesnar's hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he pulled the plug on the whole segment, and that was the end of that. Which, of course, raises a lot of interesting questions, because this match is taking place in Toronto. Brock Lesnar, a dual Canadian citizen. Goldberg hated in Canada for ending the career of Bret Hart.
He's a dual Canadian citizen? What does that mean? He's both Quebec and
and
the rest of Canada?
Don't question me, Mike. That's beside the point.
Dual province or whatnot?
You know what the point of this is.
The point of this is...
If these numbskulls think that Goldberg is going to be cheered over Brock Lesnar in Toronto, they better not be shocked if that doesn't happen.
I can't believe... Why?
I'm sick of people being surprised about the obvious.
Why is the old man surprised about this? I mean, it is amazing. You can have the promo that you had Goldberg cut last week. You can hope that he gets cheered. But in 2016, when you're going into a place where you have made up specialized, localized shirts for the guy with the local team's colors on it, the team he went to the final cut of, after not playing football since high school. Yeah, the guy who went to college there and hails as a NCAA champion from there. You probably should have factored in there was a chance that he was going to be cheered and Goldberg's name would be booed. I mean, you should be able, I would think, to plan for those things at this point, considering it's happened so many times to you, and it's 2016, but obviously that's too much for Vince to handle, and it was way too much, but yeah, he's going to get booed. Goldberg is in Toronto. I would figure that he is, so I'm glad we've got the really awesome promo with the kid out of the way early, because I think it's probably all downhill from here, if for no other reason except for news of this is going to get out and fans are going to love having a field day beating up this show and beating up those guys the same way that the WrestleMania 20 crowd did.
Let me do a psychological analysis right here. I just read an article yesterday, in fact. They've done studies on lying, and they have found that the more you lie, the easier it is to lie. You become desensitized to the fact that you're telling a lie. And obviously, Vince McMahon, his whole business has been about telling lies forever. And so I think that maybe, I'm not a psychologist here, I think that maybe Vince has been lying for so long that he thought, you know, if we lie, all of these fans will just accept this lie. And that is exactly what happened, because when the fans weren't chanting Goldberg at all, Paul Heyman just kept acting like they were, which I think honestly made the whole thing worse. You know what's
the
even more?
Carney worked him into a shoot.
You know what's even more funny is I got a report from somebody that was in the building that said everybody was confused because we didn't know what WWE wanted us to chant. Now, first off, think about that.
And we've That's come, true, though.
We've come to the point now where everyone's just playing along because they don't play along. They play along when they want to, I guess, and not when they don't want to. But, I mean, it wasn't patently obvious what they wanted when Paul Heyman did that promo saying, you guys better not chant for Goldberg. I mean, really, everybody in the building was confused. Or maybe they just didn't want to chant for Goldberg.
Yeah.
This whole situation. And then, man, it's too bad there's a commercial coming up. Last night, Curtis Axel, also from Minneapolis.
That's well.
Okay, now listen.
Might as well be his birthday, too.
I rant and rave about 50-50 booking, and I think it's stupid. But man, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas beating him last night in his hometown. And here's what's even more weird about the whole thing. Not that any of this matters. I'm totally wasting my time right here, but they were confiscating Curtis Axel signs. Now, I talked about this last week. Curtis Axel, when he was beaten up by Bo Dallas last week, that was a babyface turn. So the idea was, in Minneapolis, Curtis Axel was going to be the babyface. Now, why they confiscated signs? I mean, the only thing I can come up with is they figured if there are Curtis Axel signs on television and he's cheered and we beat him, we'll look stupid. So let's get rid of these signs so maybe we then won't look stupid, but they still look stupid. I gotta go to a break. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Season 3 of the critically acclaimed Shoot series, Back to the Territories with Jim Cornette, returns. Check out the Amarillo edition, starring Terry Funk. Join Cornette and Funk as they chronicle the territory trail blazed by Dory Sr. Hear what Terry and Dory Jr. did to keep it going after Sr.'s passing. Back to the Territories series by producers Kayfabe Commentaries is the definitive chronicling of the classic territories. Corny has already covered Florida, Indianapolis, Mid-South, Mid-Atlantic, and the AWA, Calgary, etc. in previous editions. Now you can check out Amarillo on DVD, on demand, and KC downloads at shootinterviews.com. Hop in the DeLorean and do the territories with Jim Cornette as your wheelman. I can only imagine Jim Cornette driving a DeLorean. Back to the territories, shootinterviews.com. Big question heading into the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is what match goes on last. Still no decision as of today. The Raw show is just promoting 3 Cell matches as a triple main event. And because they didn't flat out announce on television that Sasha and Charlotte was going on last, because I think if it is going on last, you should have promoted it as history this coming Sunday. I don't think it is. In fact, I think that it may even go on first, because I believe that they feel if it doesn't go on last and it doesn't go on first, if it goes on in the middle of the show, people may leave afterwards. But they're unlikely to leave if it goes on first because they miss almost all of the show.
What?
Yeah. Now, my feeling, what? Yeah, they believe that. Mike, let's imagine for a second. Did you watch the Raw main event?
Yes.
Okay, nobody cared one bit about Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Jericho.
Well, maybe not.
So if you put the women in the semi-main, I mean, there may be people that leave. It's Boston. They may see Sasha's cage match and then get out of there to beat traffic.
Man, I don't know. I've spent $60 on a ticket. I mean, it's really, it's putting it on Kevin Owens right there, isn't it?
That, I'm just telling you.
Oof.
Now, here's my theory. I think it's got to go on last because of Mick Foley's Facebook post that got published on every single wrestling website in the world and was tweeted all over the place about how they were going to be the main event. And then later he went in and he changed it. But he changed it after it had already gone all over the place.
Well.
So I think that if you don't put it on last, I think people are going to turn on the show because they're going to feel that the women got screwed and they're going to ruin, they're going to hijack the rest of your show. I firmly believe that that is a possibility of happening.
I think you are giving Boston too much credit for being that short and ill-tempered if something like that were to happen. I think it obviously shows that they never know what they're doing as far as having a cohesive plan. I mean, if you think about it, when it came to the women, once Sasha beat Charlotte, Charlotte should have been doing everything devious and cowardly so she could get away with it, too, and be able to run away after it. But doing such devious things where we wanted to see this woman in the cage, where we didn't need Mick Foley giving us a promo that harkened back to the 90s. The problem being that none of it was believable, and as you watch these two brightly, you know, colored women, you know, Charlotte there, Sasha with her pink hair, as we've sleptwalked through this whole thing to get to this point, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. So I think it makes sense that they've pulled back on it. Jericho, for anything you want to say about, like, the heat, there's still far more oomph behind Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, and it makes more sense for that to be the main event than anything else on there, with the exception of Rusev finally killing Reigns and actually ascending out of the cage through the top of the cage, Magic 3 and Divinely, and through the top of the building where he belongs. We love Rusev.
Rusev is the best babyface in the company. Let's go to the phone. Stay on topic here today. You are on the air.
How's it going? This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yes, Kenny.
Hey, before I start, I want to wish my condolences and thoughts and prayers to Mr. Dave Meltzer and his mother and wish her the best of speedy recovery. Anyway, as far as Raw goes, I actually did like the show, but the one thing that I felt was kind of puzzling is what's going up with Sami Zayn? You know, it's like this whole deal with Braun Strowman. Obviously, it's leading up to a match, but I mean, what are they doing with him? Like,
Kenny, let me stop you for a second. I don't want to be a jerk, Kenny, but let me stop you. Are you seriously surprised? Are you pretending to
not
be surprised?
Really.
Okay, well, then that's your answer. They don't see much in Sami Zayn, so he's feuding with Braun Strowman.
Yeah, but I mean, I watched that match that he and Kevin Owens had on Payback, and if you want to make a list of like what I feel is like the top 10 matches of the year, that has to be on that list. I mean, he put Kevin Owens over really strong in that match, and I just feel like that, you know, even if they don't have any confidence in him, they should not embarrass him like that. But then again, he is a white-bread babyface.
Well, there's two things here, Kenny. I want to thank you very much for the call. Number one, they don't have a lot to do. They don't have a lot of plans for Sami Zayn. It was patently obvious by the fact that they're putting him in a feud with Braun Strowman. But you could argue, if you're talking about that Kevin Owens-Sami Zayn match being so great, that maybe while they don't have any real plans for the guy, they respect his working ability, and that is why he is feuding with Braun Strowman. It helped teach this guy how to have good matches on the house shows. So you could look at it as a positive.
You need to do that. So a lot of people, you know, the Chris Benoit, Booker T, best of seven series for the U.S. title. I mean, what was that for? It was because they thought a lot of Booker T, and they had always seen a lot in Booker T. And it's just sometimes you have to do those things, and it does look like punishment, and many times it is punishment. I mean, Rick Rude and the Ultimate Warrior. How many guys could work with the Ultimate Warrior? Not many. Rick Rude could actually do that. So Rick Rude was summoned in both World Class and WWF to do that with the Ultimate Warrior. It's just sometimes you're going to have to do those things. And God knows after what we saw yesterday, maybe there's a possibility in the future we see Chris Jericho do that with Braun Strowman, which would be,
you know,
something special.
Rick Rude was so great. I've been watching him when he debuted in the NWA on the old TBS shows. And here's a guy that, holy smokes, what a physique this guy had. And if you watch a lot of stuff from the 80s, there were plenty of guys with awesome physiques, and they didn't need to do anything. They didn't need to do anything, and they didn't need to be any good. The Warlord, the Road Warriors, Hogan, I mean, Warrior, all of these guys. If you had a great physique, a lot of times, that was more than enough. But Rick Rude had a fabulous physique, and he worked his ass off and became a great wrestler and a great promo, and he had a great physique. This man was awesome.
Yes, he was.
This person says, I was at Raw. The confusion, from what I could tell, was that they were trying to force Goldberg chants on a crowd that was clearly pro-Brock. The longer it went, the more defiant the crowd got, which eventually led to the loud Goldberg sucks chant at the end, at which point Vince gave up on the segment. It was so hilarious. I couldn't believe my eyes. I'd heard about it, and then I watched it. I was like, man, it just didn't do justice to how amazing it really was.
Still wasn't the high point of my comedy of the night. That is still reserved, and I'm sorry. That's still reserved for Titus O'Neil.
Oh, and he leaped. Yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah, his job was to be pushed back by, they were standing outside the ring, be pushed by Mark Henry into the ring, so he would knock Epico off the top turnbuckle, crotch himself, and he falls into the ring. But Titus basically takes the shove and then gets himself seated up on the ring like he's just going to sit up. And as he does, then reaches his hand up to pull on the top rope, which causes Epico to fall down. It was extra bad. This was WCW late 2000 type of stuff there.
This person says, have you heard? Actually, no, Mike, you're wrong. What was late WCW stuff was the storyline where Brian Kendrick needs TJ Perkins to do a job for him.
That's right, yes.
In a wrestling
Buff Bagwell,
match.
Yes.
Oh, dear God. Anyway, this person says, have you heard anything about the seemingly slow ticket sales for the Royal Rumble? They've been on sale for over a week, but there are tons of good seats that haven't moved. Of course there are tons of good seats. There's 60,000 seats.
Lord.
For the Royal Rumble.
It's a big deal. Just,
I mean, it
know.
Is a big deal, but I mean, 60,000 seats for the Royal Rumble?
You know what the cruiserweight division needs now? And this is no offense to Kendrick, to Perkins, to anybody, but it needs like Grand Metalik right now. And WWE needs Grand Metalik right now. And the Royal Rumble will need Grand Metalik when it comes time. I know how bad they are with luchadors and masked guys and all that sort of stuff. They were handed Rey Mysterio. It was tough to screw it up with him. They need to create one, and they need to do it right now.
Hey, listen, I just saw Chavo Classic on Lucha Underground. Maybe he's free. He can sell some tickets to the Royal Rumble.
He could get some tickets on the way to the Royal Rumble, I'm sure, too.
A lot of people are going to be getting tickets on the way to the Royal Rumble. If you're in the area, you probably can pretty easily get into that Royal Rumble.
Just don't get the ones that Chavo might get on the way. Never mind.
This person here says, in 1971, the Grand Wizard, after being asked about Miguel Feliciano's losing streak on a Boston radio show, said, quote, a wrestler coming up in the business always has difficulty being successful in their hometown. And he says Vince still adheres to that principle 45 years later.
Wow. Grand Wizard Ernie Roth quote. Wow.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot of things that Vince does that he adheres to from 46 years ago.
Well,
I don't know if stuck in his ways is the best way to phrase it, but he is stuck in his ways. Back in a moment with Jeremy Botter. Apologize. I will do much better when he's on the air. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and Jeremy Botter is joining us here today. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Tell us about Flow Slam.
Man, I am so tired. I've been working on Flow Slam pretty much nonstop for 5 or 6 days at this point. But, man, it's hard to not get excited about this, but you know what it might mean. I kind of just pitched it on a lark, like, you know, one night I was up here late one night with one of our VPs, and I was like, yeah, why don't we do pro wrestling, you know, not thinking that anything would come of it, because I mean, Flow has always been Flow Sports, it's always been just sports. And so I just threw it out for fun, and he goes is there wrestling outside of WWE? And I was like, seriously? So anyway, long story short, he asked me to write a proposal, a pitch, and have it on his desk the next week. And I called up Dave. When I need information, I call up Dave. And I asked him about it at first, and he was kind of cold on it at first. And then we started talking, and Dave started getting more excited. And he was a real big help. You know, he got a lot of my initial pitch and proposal that I put in front of these people, you know, in front of my bosses over here. Dave helped me with it enormously. And that was in May, man. I didn't think anything was going to come of it. I thought it was just going to stay on the back burner. And then we hired a guy over here who has been an Observer subscriber for a long time. And he is in the rights acquisition department. And one day he just went to a meeting and said, we're doing pro wrestling. And that was it. Off and running.
Now, obviously, the announcement yesterday, this at this point, is very much based around WWN Live. But in the press release, and I know you've written about this, you guys are scouring the globe to add more. Is there any sort of time frame for announcements? People are very eager to see what else might be available.
You know what? I know they're eager, and man, trust me, I'm eager too, because this is kind of like my dream service. Like it's what I would want. You know, back when I was in college and, you know, trying to get my hands on tapes from Japan and places like that. Like, this is what I would want. And I know they're excited, man. I'm thrilled. I wake up every day, you know, wondering what the latest update is. But the truth is I don't really know. I don't have a good answer for you just because it's not my department. It's above my pay grade. But I will tell you that, you know, I mean, we're not shopping. We're not wrestling with WWN. They're going to be an amazing partner for us. But we are looking to expand this thing, you know, and my dream is to make this the place where you can find all wrestling that you can't find on the WWE Network. I would love that. You know, it's not going to be fast. It's not an easy process, man. Let me tell you what. But I think we're going to get there at some point, man. I think we're going to have a service that people are very happy with. And I mean, honestly, like if you're an Evolve fan and you watch, you know, two Evolve events a month, you're already saving money, $20 a month. You know, and I get this, double the price of the WWE Network and all that stuff, but as we begin to add more and more content, as we begin to roll out our documentaries that are in pre-production, I think people will see that we've got a lot of cool stuff, even outside of just the live streams and the libraries.
Got a lot of questions here from the listeners. This person says, in regards to Flow Slam, will Flow Sports go film and do production for the events, or will the promotions need to get upgraded equipment, do their own production, and then it just streams through Flow Slam? How does this all work?
I believe it's a case-by-case basis. I can tell you that with WWN, they are handling their own production still. We will have a team of our production people on hand, but they mostly handle the stream, you know, that make sure the quality of the stream is good, the internet speed, things like that. In terms of the cameras and the lighting and stuff, that's all WWN still. But I mean, you know, in the future, it might change. Who knows?
This person here says, at the very beginning in the upcoming events, it listed Ring of Honor, and there was also a listing for WWE, which I believe has now been taken down. Any updates on that?
Yeah, so that honestly, like, here's the simple explanation, and people are going to have conspiracy theories no matter what I say, right? But the truth is, with all of our other sports, we have what are called coverage pages. And so if we have an event coming up, let's say UFC 205, right? You go to flowcombat.com, and you'll see one of those for UFC 205. It does not mean that we're streaming UFC 205, clearly, because the UFC would not appreciate that. It is simply a way to collect all of our coverage around a certain event. So any stories, any videos written around certain events can be collated into that one place for easy access. And now, you know, that's the way I built this. You know, I mean, honestly, it's a one-man operation building the site out so far. It's the way I built the site out. I put in WWE events because we needed to add in some events. And then yesterday when I started getting feedback from people like, hey, do you guys have WWE? Do you guys have Ring of Honor? I was like, yeah. Maybe there's a little bit of confusion here, and so I took them down.
Now, as far as the Flow Sports organization itself, I think that this probably is the first time that a lot of people have heard about this, at least wrestling fans. But this company has been around a long time, and it has served a number of different markets, which, honest to God, a lot of them far more obscure than professional wrestling. I believe there's a marching competition that's on there this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Brian. And you would be shocked at the popularity of our... I mean, that site just launched 2 months ago, and it's enormously popular. I was in marching band in high school, and I'm surprised. We really do. We look for those places where fans are not being serviced by major media and by ESPN and, you know, outlets like that. And we go in there, and we try to give them what they want. Because that's how the company started. Mark and Martin Floriani, the two brothers, you know, they were both collegiate track and wrestling athletes. And when they graduated, they couldn't keep up with their sports. And so they essentially bought a van and got in the van and would show up to these wrestling rooms and to these track and field events, and they would just film people and start putting stuff up. And that, I mean, really is, that's how it started, because they wanted people like them to be able to keep up with the sport they love. And that's, you know, what we've done with all of our sports. We are obviously branching out, marching, you know, I don't know if it's a sport. I don't know if, you know, video gaming is a sport. I'm still trying to come to grips with all that. But, like, essentially what we're doing now is anything that's a live competition that people want to watch, like, we're going to look at that. And it's the way pro wrestling is, man. Like, we're, you know, the WWE Network, for me, like, my fiance would probably delete it if she could from my Apple TV, because I use it all the time, like, all the time. And but there's people like me who want to see more than just that, you know. And so what we're trying to do is really just shine a spotlight on the guys who, you know, may someday be on the network, maybe in NXT or on Raw, but are developing their, you know, their craft right now. And at the same time, we're, you know, we're providing financial support to some, you know, to these companies and helping them grow their rosters and upgrade stuff. And I mean, for me, it's a, you know, it's a win-win. Like, everybody in wrestling wins, and I'm pretty, it's still pretty hard to come to grips with the fact that I've been involved in all of this.
Now, how does it work in terms of the $20 fee? I guess it's $20 per month, or you can do an annual fee for $12.95. I mean, is this a Flow Sports subscription where if, for example, you are a fan of professional wrestling and marching band, you'll be able to watch all of that stuff?
I would say, because I'll watch a step dancing competition, no problem.
Or is it $20 for each channel?
So if you do the monthly subscription, it is per channel, per sport. But we just launched, I mean, the Universal annual subscription launched 2 months ago, I think it was, when we officially we launched it. I think that might have been July. But so if you pay the $150 a year for the annual subscription, it works out to about $12.50 a month or so, and you get a Universal Pass, all access to all the sites that we currently have and any sites that we launch in the future. And, you know, if you're a combat sports fan, I mean, you know, obviously there's not a lot of crossover between, like, you know, let's say professional wrestling and maybe cheerleading. There's not a lot of people who are going to wake up on a Saturday and go, you know, I've got to watch this gymnastics competition before I watch wrestling tonight. That, you know, that doesn't happen. But if you're a combat sports fan, a pro wrestling fan, there's a chance that maybe you're an MMA fan or somebody like yourself with Flow Grappling. We've got, you know, 2-3 events every single weekend from around the world. There's a chance that, you know, there's quite a bit of crossover there. And it's pretty interesting for folks like that.
So, I know that one of the main concerns that wrestling fans have is that, oh my God, $20 or whatever the monthly fee is, or even the $12.95, I mean, there's no way they'll get enough subscriptions. This thing is gonna implode and go bankrupt and whatever. So essentially, this is not a standalone project. It is a channel in a much larger conglomerate, so it is exceedingly unlikely that Flow Sports is going out of business because of this attempt to do an independent wrestling streaming service.
No, I last night when I finally got to stop working for a little bit, I started looking at some of the reactions on Reddit and on your board, which I try not to go to very often because it eats away at my soul. And then, you know, on Twitter, and I, you know, it's
a great endorsement.
There's a lot of business experts out there, man. Like, it's pretty amazing. How much insight they have. I saw one guy that said that, you know, we had to have 500,000 subscribers minimum to, you know, to stay even break even. And I'm like, dude, if we had 500,000, you know, I mean, like, I'm moving somewhere and you'll never hear from me again. Let's put it that way. Like, I'll be so, I, people don't understand. This is not, we are not WWE. We have a much different business model, and we don't operate our platforms in the same way. I'm not in the business development department. I don't know how all that works. I don't know what the numbers are, but I do know that as a company, since I've been here in March, we have been exceedingly successful with every single vertical that we've gone into, and I fully expect, I mean, people are getting tired of me saying it around here, but I fully expect for Flow Slam to be one of our top verticals within 18 months. You know, that's just kind of my personal prediction. We don't have to get kind of WWE Network kind of numbers. We don't.
You basically, Flow Sports has the infrastructure to make this work. This is not something that is being built from scratch and needs to completely sustain itself.
No, man, this is this company is growing at an alarming rate. Every week I show up, and we have like a meeting on Tuesdays with the whole company where they introduce new hires, and every single week it's like gremlins in our office. Like there are 7, 8, 9, 10 new hires. I can't keep up with everybody's name. I don't know their faces. We are growing, and we are doing so on the strength of, I mean, network-wide, all of our sports are doing very, 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 very well. And, you know, as we continue to grow, we'll add more non-sports, more live, different kind of competitions. And, I mean, I appreciate the concern from all these people who are worried that we're going to go out of business because we're going into pro wrestling, but we're not going to go out of business because we're going into pro wrestling.
Now, let me ask this question, because obviously you're not going to talk about specific promotions. I'm sure you're well aware everybody's asking about PWG. But a general question. Have you been in contact with promotions and or promoters who are skeptical of the idea, but you feel that after 6 months or a year of promotions that are involved with Flow seeing success, these promotions will jump on board?
Well, I can't comment on like that aspect. What I will tell you is that yesterday when the news came out, I personally was hit up by, I think it was 17 different promotions from, you know, across America and England and, yeah, really across the world. And, you know, they're all absolutely interested. They're all, how can we get on the service? How can we do this? And, you know, so now it's my job to kind of try to filter them and pass them on to the guys above me who do the negotiations. But, man, as far as I know, you know, I mean, I'm not privy to a lot of the negotiations once they get down to, you know, that stage. But as far as I know, man, like we've had nothing but, you know, we've had a lot of interest. We've had nothing but overwhelming positivity. I can't speak to PWG. Like, would I love to have PWG? Of course I would. I'm a wrestling fan. Everybody would love to have PWG. I don't know what's happening. I don't know, you know, I don't know what the status is of any of these things. I wish I could tell you. But what I will say, man, is like, again, we are not stopping. We are constantly on the lookout for the best independent wrestling content that we can find on the planet, the best promotions, the best partners. Really, I mean, like, when I was talking...
Actually, stand by, Jeremy. We gotta head to a break, but we'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Jeremy Botter, let's get some information out there about Flow Sports and your social media.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so our first event on Flow Slam, November 4th, we got Shine 38 from Florida. We're going to be rolling out some preview stuff for that early next week. And, you know, on Twitter, I'm at Jeremy Botter. Yeah, I would say don't follow me if you only want me to talk about pro wrestling, because I talk about a lot of stuff.
That's right. So check that out, Flow Sports. And we, I'm sure, will be joined by you very, very shortly talking with Dave about more of this situation. And I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. Make sure you check it out, everybody. Flow Sports, apps available, by the way, on Apple TV and Roku. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Apple TV and Roku, and you know, more apps for different platforms coming down the road.
So check that out, everybody. And we are completely out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. We are here live and free every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. The show replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. We have commercial-free replays up every day for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. That is, of course, in addition to the 8,500 shows we have in the archives at WrestlingObserver.com. Every show we have done dating back to 2005, so check that out. And that is it from here. Thanks, Mike, as always, all the folks at Sports Byline USA. Jeremy, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.